The Great Podcast Directory. Welcome to the Pod to Pod podcast, where we explore the news, services, technologies, and advice that will help podcast producers and consumers. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Matthew Passy. On this episode, we have the co-founder of PodDB. That is a brand new, going to be the great directory for all things podcasting. Her name is Steph Garrett, and you're going to want to check out their service at www.poddb.me. Please include the www right now. That's the best way to get on the site. We'll also have a link in the Pod to Pod notes. This is where you're going to find hosts, guests, producers, sound engineers, everybody who's doing something in podcasting is going to be listed. It's just like IMDb for podcasting, but it's better because it's for podcasts. Before we hit that content, though, please remember to check out pod2pod.com, your go-to resource for all things podcasting. There you can sign up for the weekly newsletter, check out the latest headlines, browse our directory of podcasting services, surf the calendar of podcasting events, join our podcasting Slack group, and so much more. It is all available at pod2pod.com. Now, here we go with Steph Garrett of PodDB. Very excited to have on Pod to Pod today, Steph Garrett, the co-founder of PodDB. You can find that at www.poddb.me. I have to stress, you should put in the www when you're typing that in, .poddb.me. We'll also have a link to it on the Pod to Pod website so you can get there directly. This is like the IMDb of podcasting. It is super cool, and we're super excited to talk about it. Steph, thank you for joining us here tonight.
Oh, thank you, Matt, for having me.
So I've been playing with PodDB for a little bit leading up to our chat right now, and it is really, really fascinating. I feel like somebody had tried to do this before, create a directory of podcasting guests and hosts, but you guys take it a step further because you want everybody. You want like the full production line, everybody that works in podcasting, that has a hand in a podcast, you want to make sure they're included. So what was the onus behind creating this service?
Yeah. So I think that's exactly right. And you nailed it right on the head of IMDb of podcasting, which in our minds, it really means a well-established data registry where we're collecting. And this goes back to exactly what we have with movies and TVs and shows today, where it's not just the stars of the show. It's things like the key grip and the editors and the writers of a show as well. There's so much effort that goes into this medium of podcasting right now. And we were just really keen to find out who those people were. And we figured out that we couldn't easily find it. So why not collect it ourselves and see if we can make it available for others? The other part of this was really incredibly selfish for me, which is that
we love hearing that.
I like the way certain things sound. And I like the way certain things look, just like, you know, you would with cinematography. And I realized that there were roles like sound designers that were different from sound engineers. After listening to quite a bit of course, narrative and public radio, and, you know, one of the most beautiful examples of, say, 99% Invisible. I like knowing who those people are that are creating those soundscapes that I most enjoy hearing in narrative. And even now I'm seeing more interview-based podcasts. So I was really trying to get at who are those people and what have they done and why are they doing this to some degree? And that's kind of the basis for why the data that we're trying to capture here.
So my big question is, how are you getting your hands on that information? I was a little surprised. I typed my name in there and it was spelled wrong, but once I figured it out, I got it fixed. I got my name in there and I noticed that Pod to Pod, I was already listed at the host. Like, how did that connection get created without me having to include it?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing. So we actually started from the base that everyone starts from, which is essentially looking at RSS feeds to figure out exactly what information we could get and understand. And this is where my understanding of what happens gets very, very fuzzy. And my co-founder, Nazar Sharinenko, this is where he gets very much involved. We decided to look at the available data that was there, but then go a step further and listen to the content as well and start to find out who these people are. I think it's a fun thing for me to sit back and say, RSS feeds have a lot of that information. Let's see how much we can get out of it and put into our systems and create the right, I guess, algorithms and relationships and tools to scrape that information and make it available in an easy to use resource. But that is just kind of one layer there. There's always going to be a human element for us of wanting to understand this content. And so we decided to actually listen to the stuff. That took sitting down and just trying to map out for ourselves who's appearing in this content and who's not appearing in it, but is probably making it. And then going to the networks and talking to people and asking them, hey, did you make something? Are you a producer? What does that mean for you? What activities are you taking on? Asking those questions of the community combined with just actually listening to the content was how we went about actually getting this the base set of this data.
And I think like a lot of good social networks and new systems that are out there, it's also going to take the community itself to jump in there, because a lot of us are independent, a lot of us are alone, and we're, creating and working on content that it might not be very clear that we're doing it. So we're going to have to sort of go in there and add ourselves and do some of the homework for you guys, right?
Yeah. So I think that's exactly right. It's still early days for all of the ways that we want to make it easier for people to submit that information to us. But I think with that said, I've been, let's say, overwhelmed and humbled all at once by the number of independent podcasters that have submitted their data to us, just by us simply asking. It seems like for the independent creators especially, they see an immediate value of having their credits alongside these other, say, larger networks like the Earwolves and the Gimlets and other networks that exist out there. So they immediately got it, and we got hundreds of submissions to this database almost immediately when we asked the community about it. What we want to do, though, is longer term, make it much easier so that people don't necessarily have to always just go to the site to submit that data to us. We can put ourselves in places where it's easier to submit it.
And on top of everything else, this is a great resource to sort of look at guests. You have, before we jumped on the call, we were talking about our day today, and the name Cory Booker came up, and it would be really cool to be like, oh, I wonder what podcast he's been on. But with PodDB, you would be able to type his name into the search bar, click on it, and all the places that he has been registered as a guest would appear. So I can go through and say, oh, I want to hear him here, 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 here. Don't want to listen to him there. Here, like, you would be able to sort of check all of their appearances.
Yeah. And that is such a funny point that you made, because that was one of these items that I didn't see for myself. I didn't really understand the network need until I put the database out into the world. And I started to ask people, well, what would you be looking for if you were to come into this database? And immediately, over and over, they'd say, I find people, influential guests that I'd want to book for shows, but I'd also find people who are really talented or creating within the industry. So it would definitely help with that too. And that use case keeps coming out for us over and over again of wanting to find people who are on shows as guests so that they can have them as guests on their shows, but also looking for people within the industry who might be producing quite a bit of content on independent podcasts that could help them out in doing the same thing.
So what are some of the other long-term aspirations for what PodDB can do? Because I know it's still kind of early going, and there's a lot of data to parse through and to get uploaded and to get set up on here. But, there's got to be, you're already got to be thinking about your next steps here, right?
Always. I say that, but I also am doing quite a bit of listening right now to the community and to the industry that's talking and working within here. So we've set up conversations with a few companies already to talk about how they can better leverage this. But I really want to still explore also creating things like original content based around this data. One of the most interesting things about this data set is that it's never existed before. And I think there is an opportunity to have original or enhanced content because of this data set. But I think to do that, I want to see the credits and the information build up over the next few weeks as we'll be rolling out a lot more data then. And probably the second area, in addition to original content, we've had quite a few people within the industry kind of ask us about other things like monthly reports that they could get that ties in the highest used or top 200 shows and who those people are who are appearing or creating those shows. Having a really great index that can tie back some of the more popular and new and noteworthy content into the people aspect of it is a really exciting opportunity that we're exploring as well.
Now, one thing I've heard the word credits mentioned a few times in this conversation, and IMDb famously, when you watch movies and television shows, everything comes with credits. When you listen to a lot of higher end productions of podcasting, a lot of them include credits, you know, producers and sound engineers and sound designers and music and all that stuff. Do you think that we as a universe, as a content creation platform, have to start thinking about maybe some sort of standardized credits for podcasting that, it sounds like you already have an answer to me.
Well, I think so. So I don't know if it needs to be, possibly it does need to be standardized. I think that the concept of the credit or the acknowledgement of those who contributed to the work, it needs to be captured and it needs to be done in a more regulated or standardized way. But something that's open to the community and something that people can do. Look, I think the last thing I'd want to do is see the term credit used as a bad word to create content or something that's going to slow down the creation of content. But I think for obvious reasons like acknowledgement of plagiarism, just good citation practices, people being able to do critical reviews or write compelling bodies of work, you really need to understand the person, what their role was, and where that's tied to in their work. So I would love to see a standard generated for the community to be able to associate that with all of the content moving forward. It's kind of hard to think about a world where it continues without it because you don't see it for other mediums.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you have to have credits on a YouTube video, although there are plenty of places where people like to post something. And, you know, I guess it's because, like, you know, one of the strengths of podcasting is the fact that you can do whatever you want with it and you really have a lot of flexibility. But because of that, like, people are doing a lot of different things and, you know, maybe there's just a few things that need to be a little bit more universal. So just like you said, just so there's a registry, registry is also a terrible word. It's a loaded word, but yeah, just so there's some sort of frame of reference for who's working on stuff. Where did the content come from? Is it all legitimate? Was it legally obtained? Things like that.
Yeah. And you know, it's a funny thing because I think video is a good example too of something that's probably missing it for long-term use. And these aren't things we're thinking about as we're creating digitally and the rules and standards are so open. But I mean, this is not the first time the world has ever had to deal with this. There were daguerreotypes during the Civil War that, you know, Alex Gardner had to figure out whether he was different from Matthew Brady as a photographer. So they were both writing and scribbling on the back of their imagery. You know, this is dealt with in the 1920s where movie companies like MGM and Grand were holding back artists and their rights because there was credits associated with that. And they thought that it was going to be a huge deal and they were going to become larger than the industry itself. So I just think we're at a new precipice where digital content that's been created, where the freedom is there. Let's continue that freedom. But let's also explore how we can make sure that you can find it long term and know who's associated with that content and their role in it. Because some of this stuff, and I'll say this from the academic background and perspective, some of this content in podcasting is some of the most educational content on the planet. And it's taught me more about business, about people, about the world than maybe anything else, anything that I've read or viewed recently. So I think there's something to be said for that type of content, its proliferation and how we catalog that.
Interesting. So now for our audience, which are typically podcasters and podcast producers, what are some ways that they can best use PodDB for their content to make sure that they as a host, producer, creator are, you know, well accessed and databased in there and that their shows and their guests are, you know, being recorded correctly?
Yeah. So I'd say the first thing is register as a user on the site, which we have a registering your podography, which will take you to registration. And through that process, what that does is actually register you as a user so you can continue to come back to the site. And eventually we'll be rolling out more features to our registered users actually very soon. And then the next thing is that we're actually going to be, the next thing that people should do is really create their podography. So that means just filling out a simple form about the title of your shows and the episodes associated with it. One of the things we allow is for people to submit their RSS feed to us and that go ahead and create the unique records that you're going to need. You create your people record and then link that up. And that takes you through the process right on the interface. And I'd say the last thing you can do to really highlight yourself is to email us. Email me, contact me on Twitter, so that I would love to feature and highlight what you're doing and what you're working on the site, and also share out your podography to the rest of the community as much as I can, and highlight that along the way. But really right now, what I'd love to see people do is registering for the site, using it, giving us as much feedback as possible, and talking to us about ways they think they can leverage it for their work.
Very, very cool. And you have coined the phrase, I'm going to assume, podography there.
Yep. Let's say I did.
And that definitely comes from, it's very clear that you have an academic background, because that just comes, that's just such an academia way, I think, of characterizing everybody, which I found funny.
Listen, I lean into who I am. I'm okay with it.
Last question. You said you listen to a lot of content for the website. Do you still get a chance to listen just for pleasure, or do you just enjoy what you're listening to here? And are there any podcasts in particular that you want to sort of give some shout outs and some love to right now?
Oh gosh. Yes, I listen. right. So we have to cut it short then. I would say, yes, I listen to a lot for pleasure. The top ones, let's say The Read, I am a fanatic about it. Every Thursday, I'm super excited when it comes out, like millions of other people who listen to the show. I'm a huge fan of the Ezra Klein Show. I like to dive deep. I like policy wonk. The Weeds gets a little bit too deep for me, but I like the Ezra Klein Show and the interview. And I listen to a lot of Exponent with Ben Thompson. So those are the ones of my personal favorites. But I would have to say, in doing PodDB, that some of the things that I found are shows like Up and Vanished with Payne Lindsay, and Kismet, K-I-S-M-E-T, which is an amazing new show that's it's very simple in concept, with talking about people's kind of their kismet moment when they're meeting each other and what that experience was like and their reaction to it. And I think it's just a beautifully sounding podcast right now.
Very cool. We have been chatting with Steph Garrett. She's the co-founder of PodDB. You're going to access it at www.poddb.me. A reminder, please put in the www so you can make sure you get to the site, or just we'll take you to a link straight from Pod to Pod to go out there. Go get your podography set up, get your name on there, get yourself as a host or a producer or sound designer or sound engineer, get your guests registered, get your shows registered, and become part of what I think is going to be one of the big and very important tools of the podcasting ecosphere. And we want to thank Steph and the team over there for creating it and for joining us here today on Pod to Pod. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you so much, Matthew. Have a good one.